Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from John 2, especially these words. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The wedding was ruined. There was no going back. The drunk folks couldn't undrink the wine. In the first century, Jewish weddings went on for days. It was the responsibility of the groom to get the wine and the food. If anything went amiss, it was almost like bad luck for the entire wedding. It'd be a social blemish. And this was a small town. Everybody would have heard of it. Did you hear about that wedding where the wine ran out? Boy, they're doomed from the start. And so clearly, Mary wants Jesus to do something. No doubt, Mary is thinking that those who drank too much should in some way be chastised or punished. It would be fair and fitting and right. And who better to do this than, well, Jesus. Jesus, give them some good law. Tell them how sinful they are for wasting all the wine and ruining the wedding. And then maybe gather the servants together to throw those people out. I think that's what Mary was thinking. But Jesus does the unexpected. He has those servants fill up those large water jars with water, and then draw some and take it to the master of the feast. You've saved the best for now. But what would Mary have thought? You're giving more wine to these people who drank too much already? Shouldn't we cut them off, Jesus? Shouldn't we bounce them out of the party, Jesus? And instead, you're giving them more wine. Not just a couple bottles of wine, but 100 gallons of wine. Do you think they'll do with that wine, Jesus? They'll keep drinking. The party will continue. Jesus does the unexpected. And here we have the first of his miracles that he does. Of course, it's not the first miracle that Jesus ever does. We know that. It was Jesus who made the world in 6 days. That's pretty miraculous. Jesus who gave Adam and Eve those garments of skin. That's pretty miraculous as well. Jesus who made the flood and parted the Red Sea and worked the plagues on the Egyptians. You get the idea. He's been doing miracles for a while. Even in his earthly life, this isn't his first miracle. Of course, Jesus was there in the temple when he's 12 years old, impressing everyone with his wisdom and knowledge. Kind of miraculous. But here, John identifies this as the first. Because John has 7. John wants you to take note of the number. This is the first, the kickoff of the 7. And this one sets the tone for the others as well, where Jesus does the unexpected. If Jesus were to do a miracle, we think it might be self-serving. That's the miracles that we might want in our lives. Give me money, give me health, give me power. But Jesus' miracles aren't like that. He makes wine for the drunk to drink. He heals an official's son and a sick man at Bethesda. He feeds 5,000 people out in the desert. He walks on water. He heals a man who was blind. And then he raises Lazarus from the dead. None of those miracles are very self-serving. They're all meant to help someone else, to teach something about who Jesus is and what he has come to do. And so the first one does as well. It teaches first that Jesus does the unexpected, not listening to Mary or anyone else, but he does as the Father wills. Jesus comes and gives an outpouring of the gifts of creation. When the Christ was to come, that was an expectation. And we see that in this first miracle as well. But Jesus also points to something else, something bigger. And he says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Jesus hasn't come to turn water to wine, or to give blind their sight, or to feed thousands, or to heal the sick, or even to raise the dead. None of those things is why Jesus came. They all show us his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. They show us that he is God. But for those miracles, Jesus did not come. He came to do the unexpected, to die for the sins of sinners. That's the eighth miracle in John's Gospel, after all. The one beyond the seven that goes beyond even the days of the week into the miraculous. The one that reorders our days and our time. The one done for you and me. The eighth miracle in John's Gospel is the cross. Jesus does the unexpected. If he shouldn't make wine for the drunks, why should he forgive the sins of sinners? He shouldn't. In the justice and mercy of God, it is right and good and just for God to punish sins, to punish the sinners who commit them. That would be just. That would be expected. But Jesus doesn't do that. He takes all of the sins of sinners on himself. He pays the price that should have been paid by you on the cross. How unexpected that as Jesus hangs there on the tree, the Father pours out on his dear beloved Son all of his wrath and hatred against all of our sins. How unexpected, how weird. But that's why Jesus came. Not to serve himself, but to serve you through his suffering and through his death. There is the miracle done for you, Jesus at the tree. But you know it doesn't end there. Of course not. Jesus spends that Saturday resting in the tomb, the true Sabbath rest, and then on the third day is raised from the dead. On the third day. Isn't that how John begins chapter 2? On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. There. The joy at that wedding, the joy of that bride and groom at seeing the new wine that Jesus made, there is the joy of Easter. That undeserved, unmerited grace poured out to us who don't deserve it, that our cup would run over with forgiveness, life, and salvation. That as Jesus burst from the tomb on that third day, it is a reminder that our sins are forgiven and that we who are baptized into Christ shall not die, but live and have life more abundantly. That joy that went along with that first miracle at Cana in Galilee is ours as we receive far more than we deserve. As Jesus forgives your sins, day after day after day. That joy is yours through Jesus Christ. The well of his mercy never runs dry. It is for you. How unexpected that Jesus would do all of this out of love for you. That you would receive life, to live life. with him. In his name, amen.